battery might be dead, reckon? Somebody burned my battery dead? Luke chapter 22. Yep. Nobody got a battery on them, do you? Like that? Don't take it out of your pacemaker or nothing. No, I'll try to stay close to this. Now, that's awful hard to do, but I'll try to right quick. No, it's okay. I'll try to. Luke chapter 22. Somebody let it die while I've gone. Typical. No, I thank God for... I appreciate all you that... the good reports, my service Wednesday night. Appreciate all you that help work with my kids and call to check on them and stuff like that. That's a big worry when I'm gone. And also appreciate your prayers for my sister and all the things that are going on. Boy, we had a time up there. They worked and prayed, and people, I guess, some fasted and everything for the service Friday night. And the Lord just moved in there Thursday night and Friday night. We had about 6 people saved, and it got good in there. It really did. I appreciate the Parker and Muff coming up and singing Monday night and Tuesday night, and it just got better all week. And we thank the Lord for a good revival meeting. Luke chapter 22, and I want to read you a verse of scripture here about a man here that really messed up. And the good part is, what I'll be telling you in a minute, just because you're messed up don't mean you have to stay that way. A man can mess up, or a woman can mess up, but thank God, God can get you straightened out and put you back on the right track again, and you can do something for God. I'm a firm believer this morning that God is a God of second chance. He'll give us a second chance. Hallelujah. And for some of us, a third and a fourth and a fifth and a sixth. God just keeps picking you up and putting you back in there if you want Him to. And I'm going to tell you about a man this morning who got out of touch with God. And his name was Peter. And the Bible said in verse... chapter 22, this is after a bunch of stuff happened. Verse number 60, Luke chapter 22 and verse 60, and Peter said, man, Luke 22, 60, and Peter said, man, I know not what thou sayest. He didn't even claim to know the Lord Jesus Christ. He had been a disciple of Jesus for 3.5 years and was cussing and swearing that he didn't even know Him. I've heard people say, I don't believe a saved man can do something like that. He did. He is saved. Don't you think Peter was saved? You better believe he was saved. People say, well, I believe if a guy gets out here and cusses, he ain't never been saved. Peter was saved. You can get out of the will of God, friend. You can get out of the will of God. Just because a man's out here messed up, you can't say he's never been saved. A person can mess up. Look at verse number 60. Peter said, man, I know not what thou sayest. And immediately, while he yet spake, the cock crew. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord. Here's how you know if he's saved. How he had said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. There's how you know if you're saved. I'm preaching to you for a few minutes this morning on the subject, out of touch with God. Did you know it is possible to break fellowship with God? You don't break relationship, but you can break fellowship with God by not living like you should live. Now, some people want God's blessings and want the Lord to bless them and give them good things and answer their prayers, while at the same time they are living in open, deliberate rebellion against God's will. Willful sin against Him. I've heard people say, when they maybe were moving to another state, they'd say, keep in touch. And what they mean by that is, write me sometime. Give me a call. Stay in touch with me. Now, when you get saved, the Lord gives you a book. He gives you a church. He gives you His Spirit. And He says, keep in touch. And by reading the Bible and praying, you stay in touch with God. But it is possible this morning for a person to get out of touch with God. I'll guarantee you, there were people in here just a while ago when these people were enjoying being saved and shouting and praising the Lord, that you were sitting there and you were saying, "Boy, I remember there was a day when I could feel like that. There was a day when I could shout. There was a day when I could say hallelujah, glory to God." But you've got out of touch with God. The message this morning is for you. I talked to a young man recently. He used to serve God. He used to love the Lord. Matter of fact, he used to preach. And through a course of strange and events that has come into his life, he's got out of the will of God. He don't even go to church now. He don't read his Bible. He don't pray. He hadn't been to church in several years now, I believe it is. He told me, I began to talk to him. He told me, he said, "I miss it." He said, "I miss that sweet fellowship." He said, "I'd give anything in the world to lay down one more night and know God's hand is on me and I could have fellowship with God once again." You know, folks, this morning, the world don't have anything to offer as good as being right with God. They don't. They really don't. It's pitiful. The cheap substitutes that the world offers this morning, but outside of being right with God. Now, the outstanding character in the New Testament of a man being out of touch with God is Peter. Let's review a few things in his life just for a few minutes. It will not be long, so you listen real careful. I want to say, first of all, there was a time when Peter was in touch with God. Peter was in touch with God. We see as the Lord began to call his disciples in the first part of the gospel that Peter was one that they won to the Lord, and Jesus called him, and Peter knew Jesus Christ. Peter left his fishing nets. He left that old life behind. He turned his back on all that stuff that he had been doing. He was just an old swearing, cussing, pork abstaining Jewish fisherman. And boy, that old boy, he met the Lord Jesus Christ, and he left that whole lifestyle behind, and him and Jesus became best friends. As a matter of fact, Peter probably had one of the strongest faith of any of the apostles or disciples. It's not those other guys you see walking on the water. It's Peter. It's not those other fellas that you see taking chances and daring up to step out for God. It's Peter. I'm saying, ladies and gentlemen, you may be the closest to God, but you can mess up and get out of touch with God. You can be, and you may say, "Boy, I'm closer to God than anybody in the church." But that doesn't mean that you might not mess up somewhere down the road. Oh, Peter was closer to Jesus probably than any of them, or at least as close. I like that story where they was out there on the boat, and they was out there in the water was doing this. About that time, Jesus come walking across the waves over there, and Peter said, "Is that you, Lord?" And the Lord said, "Yep, it's me." And Peter said, "If it's really you, let me get out of the boat and come to you." Now, brother, how's that for being close to God? Have you ever been close enough to God to try to walk on water? I ain't. Have you? Really, I felt like I've been right next to the Lord before, but I never have jumped out on Lake James out there about a half a mile out there and tried to walk across. And if you want to try it, I'll take you over there today. Really, I don't know anybody in here to do that. I heard about them guys that tried it, you know. Heard about these three preachers in the boat, you know. And they, one of them said, "Boy, I forgot my sandwich over yonder on the side of the lake." And he just jumped out of the boat and walked across on the water out there. And the guys looked at him and said, "Man, how'd he do that?" And the other one said, "Forgot my tackle box." And he got out, walked on the water all the way over to the shore. And there's one guy sitting there with his mouth open. He was of another denomination. And he said, "Well, if them can do it, I can do it. I ain't going to let them preachers outdo me. If they can walk on water, I can walk on water." So he took out there and he went, took one step, went under, and he put him up like that, and he went down again, and he come up like that. And one of them spits the other one and said, "You reckon we ought to tell that fool where them rocks are?" Now, that's the way it goes, brother. It takes somebody with some faith to walk on water. And Peter did that. But he just stepped one out there, one step, another step, and here he went. Now, great. grant you, he did sink, but he walked farther than the rest of them. He was in touch with God. We see him there at the Last Supper in John chapter 13. But he had fellowship with the Lord. He knew the Lord. I've seen a lot of them come into our church like that. I believe they got plugged in. You know, there's a lot of people say when a man gets out of church, they said, I don't believe he's ever saved to start with. You better be careful about that, because Peter was in. Peter had fellowship with God. Peter knew the Lord. Let me say something this morning. I might be getting ahead of myself a little bit, but I want to tell you something. There is nobody in this room that is not capable of any sin you ever committed for you saved if you got far enough away from God. It's only the goodness and the grace of God and staying in touch with Him that enables us to live right and serve Him. I was walking through the airport, one of my things in Philadelphia this morning, and boy, it's just you could feel evil all around you, and I was going up an escalator or something. And I could feel demons, it felt like, all over the place. And boy, I was going to look around and I thought, Lord, it's only by your grace that we can stay halfway straight in this mixed up crazy world. And old Peter did that, buddy. I mean to tell you, you know, it pays to stay close to God. You never know when you may have to get a quick prayer through. You know, like when Peter was sinking in that water. Wouldn't he have been in a fix? He'd have had to rededicate his life and go back and apologize to somebody he'd been hateful to or something like that. He just said, Lord, get me! And the Lord grabbed him. Three words! Lord, save me! Now, if that ain't in touch with God, you tell me what is. Could you hit your knees and in three words touch heaven this morning? That old boy was in touch! He had connections! That reminds me of what one of the people that worked for the newspaper said to me up there. We was getting ready to be in the parade up yonder. We was all lined up on that little street, you know, it comes out down there at the new shopping center, right down below the little buck. And we was all lined up down there, boy, and it was cold and raining. And one of the newspaper guys, editors, walked up to me and said, Danny, why is it raining? Something like, I said, well, I don't know. And he said, I thought you had connections. And he thought that I could just ask God and it wouldn't. Of course, he might have if I'd asked him. But did you know, though Peter, he had connections. That boy was plugged in. You never know when you'll need it. I met an old boy up there this week in Delaware, and he grew up on the streets of Washington, D.C., and he's named Billy. They call him Uncle Billy. And he just lived by himself in a little old camper trailer, and that old boy, he is on fire. He wanted to get right with God so bad and his own drugs so bad that he almost went crazy. And they said when they met him, he had a knife and had a great big gash over his eye like that because he's trying to get right with God and he couldn't. And he took a knife and tried to pluck his eye out because it offended him. That's right. I mean, he's crazy. I mean, he'd been on drugs and everything. He got a big scar right there. That might not be a bad idea for some of us. But he still couldn't get right with God. And boy, he took that knife there and cut him. He finally got right. And I mean, that boy is right. I mean, he shouts a victory. He loves the Lord. He had a situation happen to him about 2 months ago where he had to think fast and be in touch. He's driving down the street. And some guy hopped in the car with him at a red light, and the guy had a gun, and he said, pull over. And Billy just got his check cashed, and this black man jumped in the car with him, was going to shoot him, and he had $1,800 cash in his pocket. Just got a check cashed, $1,800. And he said, when that guy said, pull over, he drives an old beat up car, and he just mashed that thing to the floor. And he floorboarded that car. And that guy said, I said, pull over. He said, you're going to shoot me, huh? He said, yeah, I'm going to shoot you if you don't pull over. And that guy said, I don't care. I'm going to heaven. Where are you going? We're going to hit that building there. And floored that thing. And that guy said, this just happened about 2 months ago. Them crazy people up there. I ain't around Washington, D.C. And he said, I said, pull over. And the guy said, I ain't listening to you. I'm going to heaven. I'm going to heaven. I've been wanting to go to heaven ever since I got saved. And that guy said, finally said, okay. And he just slowed down. That guy jumped out.
If he'd have knew he had $1,800 on him, he'd have murdered him right there in that car. But buddy, I tell you, he was in touch. Peter was in touch with God. It sure is good to know you can get a prayer through. To know, boy, what would happen to some of us if that same thing happened? We'd have to say, oh God, my sins has found me out. Lord, I'll rededicate my life right now if you'll help me. Peter was in touch with God. But I want you to notice, secondly, this morning, Peter lost touch with God. I'm trying to stay on this little thing here, and it's hard to stay still. Peter lost touch with God. First thing he done was he fell asleep when he ought to been praying. Did you know that Jesus left him over there and he said, you guys sit here while I go over here and pray. And boy, the Lord went over and prayed a little bit and he come back and there was Peter asleep. Let me tell you something, church. God gives you good days to pray for them bad days. God lets us have good, easy times to get prayed up and read up and filled up for them trials that's coming up ahead. The Lord knew that there were trials coming, and the Lord knew that there were things are coming that would severely test those disciples. And he said, watch and pray, boys. Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. But old Peter's eyes were heavy. And he said, oh, Lord, I don't want to pray now. I want to rest. And the Lord said, you better pray. And he said, I want to rest. And the Lord said, you better pray. And that was the first step in his downfall. Then you'll notice that he wasn't ready to respond when the mob came out to get Jesus. Oh, Peter was the first one. When that night, that angry mob came up to the Lord. And buddy, he went up there. He jerked out his sword and goes, whack! And whacked that guy's ear off. There he laid down there, blood laying down on the ground. Blood all over the place. And the Lord Jesus told him to put his sword up. And it hurt his feelings. And it discouraged him. Because Peter thought, Lord, I want to do this for you. I'm trying to protect you. And you know the second thing that happened. You ever notice this? First thing he done, he went to sleep when he ought to been praying. The second thing he done, he kind of got aggravated when Jesus wouldn't let him do what he wanted to. Now you're on your way out of touch with God when God don't let you have what you want. So I heard a man said one time, he said, all backsliding begins with you getting a gripe at God. Something didn't turn out like you thought it should, or you thought, well, how'd I get in this mess? God, you didn't do me right. God, how'd I have to wind up like this? You start getting bitter, you start getting out of touch with God. I want to tell you something, brother. If you just lost your job and you just lost your wife or your husband or your health or your income, if you're saved and your name's in the book of life, you have no reason to complain at all. Neither do I. Brother, he lost touch with God because the Lord wouldn't let him do what he wanted to. But then I want you to notice the next thing he done. The Bible said in Luke 22:54 that he followed afar off. You see, there went Jesus and the rest, whoever the disciples forsook him and fled, and they took Jesus out there and began to crucify him. And old Peter, well, over here. See, used to, he would have been that far away from Jesus. Used to, he would have been right by the Lord's side. But he's way off over yonder in the bushes somewhere. Now you know you're getting out of touch with God when you're way over there and you're way over here. You've heard people say, I'm just not close to God. That's what they're talking about. I'm just not close to God. Now being close to God is not a feeling. It's not, boy, I felt something at church this morning, I must be close to God. That's not it at all. The Lord is His Word. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. You know how to be filled with God and be close to God? Be in this book. Get in this word. Let it go through you. Let it control your life. Walk in the word. You walk with God. You agree with God, you walk with God. You disagree with God, you walk afar off or a guilty distance. And old Peter's a following way off over there somewhere. Notice he was still following, but he wasn't following close. I see that happen all the time in church. This is a parenthesis in the sermon. I see that happen all the time at church. People come. They get on fire for God. They get up here as close as they can get. But they get that Bible under their arm. Praise God, preacher! Put me in the battle! I want to do something for the Lord. Man, I just love it. I love it. I love it. When's the youth choir going somewhere? When are we going to have revival? When are we going to do this? Oh, boy, I just can't wait to the youth rally. And then Seems like something happens. And first thing you know, they're just hitting in here in spots. Sunday morning, maybe every other Sunday night, maybe every other Wednesday night. You're still following, but you're following afar off. And you know what you're doing? You're getting ready to get out of touch with God. It didn't take a big sin. He didn't go get drunk. He just kind of got his feelings hurt a little bit. Kind of drifted off a little bit. Got out of touch. He got out of touch with God. And then notice the next thing he done, he went a little bit worse. There in John 18:18, it said he warmed himself at the enemy's fire. Now it doesn't use that word enemies, but that's what they were, the enemies of the Lord. John 18:18, the Bible said there's this group of soldiers over here, and boy, there's over here, and they build them a fire, and Peter stood with them. Standing with the wrong crowd. I've seen that. I've seen young people do that over and over and over and over. I've seen them stand up here in the youth choir and then saw them standing in a circle at the Pizza Hut, warming themselves at the enemy's fire. Amen! Amen! I'm telling you, young people, you cannot, listen to me, kids, you cannot hold hands with the devil and hold hands with Jesus at the same time. You just can't do it. You cannot walk with the devil on Saturday night and walk with Jesus on Sunday morning and Sunday night. You've got to let go. You've got to make that break. You've got to say, no, devil, I'm following and walking with the Lord. You know what old Peter done? He used to get his warmth with the disciples and sitting around the fire talking to Jesus. Now he's out there with the enemies of the Lord in that circle, warming his hands by the enemy's fire. You used to get your kicks and joys and thrills right in here in the house of God, reading the Bible and praying. Now you get it in parties where they're drinking and smoking pot and drinking booze and playing poker and all. You say, man, this will give me a little thrill. This will give me a little thrill. Now you're warming yourself by the wrong fire, brother. You know, this fire we had in here a while ago, if you forsake that, you'll go warm yourself by something the devil's cooked up. You'll be disappointed too. Can you imagine? Can you imagine the peace, the joy? Think of Peter. Now think of Peter. And this is why I tell you that a saved person can't ever be happy backslid. You think of Peter now. He's been with the Lord. He saw him raise dead people. He saw Jesus give sight to the blind. He has saw Jesus speak to a lame man and the lame man just jump up and walk and jump like a normal person. He saw him feed 5,000, 4,000. He saw him, he's there around, I heard about Lazarus being raised from the dead. And Peter was right there in all that stuff. And boy, he just thinks, man, Jesus would look at him with a little gleam in his eye and he'd say, thou art Peter, upon this rock I'll build my church. And boy, it would thrill his soul because the Lord spoke to him. And boy, he just bubbling inside. And boy, he just singing all the time, praise God, hallelujah, I found the one that Moses spoke about in the prophets, glory to God, I'm saved, woo, hallelujah. And boy, he's having the best time of his life. And now here he is over there, them old snarling, cursing, one of them blankety blank, I think you ought to take him out and shoot him. And Peter knows they're talking about his Lord and his Savior. You know, it must be awful miserable for a Christian who loses touch with God and then has to go out there and hang around with that wicked crowd and hear them take the name of Jesus Christ in vain and cuss the name of the Lord. Boy, on an airplane or somewhere, I hear one of them old guys get on there and he goes, one guy sat down beside me. I was afraid the roof's going to fall in. Coming back from somewhere here the other day, I believe it's from California, and he said, he is Christ this and Christ that. Well, I thought if he says that one more time, I'm going to make him mad at me. I want to punch him in the nose. You know why? Because Jesus Christ. You get these old dirty movies and they're on there. Jesus Christ. You ought to not let slop like that go in your ears. Jesus Christ, let him nail nails in his hand, keep you out of hell. That's our Savior. I ain't let you talk about my mama like that. I ain't gonna let you talk about my daddy like that. And I ain't gonna let you talk about my Savior like that. It bothers. Can you imagine how Peter felt? when he's out there and them a-cussing, telling dirty jokes. Ha-ha, I heard he's going to take him out there and make a fool out of him, strip him off naked. Ha-ha, make an R-rated movie. And Jesus Christ. No Peter standing right there with him. Can you imagine all the Christians that was out there last night backslid on God, out running around town, you know, and hitting the hell holes and going to Asheville to the bar and have to hear them take the name of their God in vain and smile. An easy smile and dance. It's kind of reminds me of that old guy. Come out of the kitchen. He's working in a restaurant. Great big pot, you know, smoke coming out of it. And he come out of there, going out like that with it. And here come the manager or something like that. You know, and he said, "Hey, boy, come here, man. That's soup of the day. Give me a taste of that soup. I want to see if it's okay." So he tasted a big sip of that soup. And he went, "You call that soup?" The guy said, "No, I call it dirty dishwater." That's about what you get when you leave what's in here and the songs of Zion and go out there and the devil and go back to your party. You get that dirty dishwater, brother. That's all you get out there. And then he got more backslid and cussed and denied the Lord in Matthew 26. People say, "Oh, I don't believe a saved man cussed." Well, don't show your ignorance. Don't show your ignorance. You ain't read your Bible and you ain't dealt with a lot of people. First thing you know, you're the only one saved. Now saved people shouldn't cuss. And you'll be miserable. And we'll see in a minute what a saved person will do. But he got away from God. Do you know what the good part of the message is this morning? Thirdly and lastly, Peter got back in touch with God. Hallelujah, he got back in. Hallelujah, he got right. Hallelujah, the Lord didn't cut him off. For you see, somehow or another, God had that thing arranged. God always has it fixed up for your backslid and running from him, that you always run into him at the most unexpected moment. And Peter was out there, and he just cussed and denied the Lord. About that time, they was transporting him to one of those Pilate or Herod or somebody, and it was in the process of the accusations and the trial. And about that time, Peter walked out the door, and him and Jesus met eyeball to eyeball. And the Bible said the Lord turned and looked on Peter. Can you imagine it? He's had soldiers on both sides that mocked him and spat on him and slapped him, made fun of him. And about that time, there's your old disciple that's backslid. Boy, don't you know what Peter done? Man, that thing stuck like a knife in his heart. Boy, he went out somewhere and the Bible said he wept bitterly. I mean, brother, he got down to bed. There's when you start getting back in touch with God. When you get on this altar and begin to bawl and begin to cry. You know something? You'll never get back in touch with God as long as you can just flippantly sin and it don't bother you a bit and it don't convict you. You say, "Preacher, what do you do when you sin?" I tell you, sometimes I'm hard for a while and sometimes it don't bother, but just about a day or so later, a few hours later, I'll break down somewhere and I'll say, "Oh God, oh God, oh God, I don't want to live like that, God. I don't want to let sin have dominion over me. It's not right. It's not right. I'm not supposed to live like that. That's a sign that you're saved." He went out and bawled his eyes out. And notice he did not get back in touch with God till he did either. You know what some of you folks need to do here? You need to get a good look at Jesus and let him look at you. Listen, if you can go out there and just live like a devil and been living in sin all this week and it don't even bother you a bit, that either one of two things, you have never been saved or else you're saved and you ain't paying attention like you should and you need to look at what you're doing. You're putting nails in his hands, grieving the heart of God. Notice in John 21, he was encouraged and God recommissioned him. Lord, give him another chance. Jesus made him get right. Jesus picked him up. "Old backslid preacher. Old preacher that's out of the will of God and been out there cussing and denying the Lord." The Lord picked him up. That little maid. Reckon that little maid saw him after that. I heard about this preacher. He took a walk and it was real snowed real bad one day.
And the preacher fell down in the snow. And while he's laying there, a little girl walked by and she said, "Do you want me to help you up, Reverend?" He said, "I'm sorry, honey, you're too little. Help me up." She said, "Oh, no, I pick my daddy up a lot of times. He's a lot drunker than you are." You know what? Buddy, when you're down like that, you know what? You give the world a bad idea of church when you mess up like that. Peter heard his testimony in front of that little girl. He did. He heard his testimony in front of that little girl. She thought, matter of fact, he said, "Boy, if he's a preacher, the woods is full of them." Notice, ladies and gentlemen, this is a point I want to drive home right quick before I finish this morning. You notice that Peter did not let that stop him. When Peter got right with God, he went ahead and done what he is supposed to do. What if Peter had took the attitude of a lot of people? "Well, I've done messed up, now I can never preach. I went out and cussed and blew my testimony in front of all these people. I'll just be a pew warmer from now on to pay for my sin." That ain't what he done. But notice he had to go through the process here. The Lord said, "All right, Peter, do you love me?" Peter said, "Yes, Lord, you know I love you. You know everything." And the Lord said, "Feed my sheep." "Peter, do you love me?" Peter said, "Lord, you know everything. You know I love you." And the Lord said, "Feed my lambs." And the Lord said, "Peter, do you love me?" Now, without going into a big thing about agape and phileo and all that stuff, let me tell you what that really means. Okay? You know why Jesus asked Peter three times, did he love him? Because three times before that, Peter cussed and denied him and said he didn't know the Lord. And one time for every denial, the Lord said, "Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me?" And Peter said, "Yeah." And the Lord said, "All right, son, you're forgiven. Get with it." We see him standing up in the book of Acts in Acts chapter 2, preaching the greatest sermon in the New Testament, probably. Boy, the old boy jumped up there and he said, "Ye men of Israel, hear this! You've taken my wicked hands." Countenance is changed. There's a glow on his face. There's a gleam in his eye. There's a power in his speech. I believe he's done got right with God. And I believe a lot of them probably got right with God. He had several thousand saved that day. You don't believe a person God can use you after you've messed up? Peter preached a sermon that I don't know if anybody in this generation preached a sermon with 3,000 people getting saved. I tell you what, God can help you. You've been out of touch with God, you can get back in this morning. God can bless you again. You can sing in the choir. You can preach the gospel. You can witness to people on the job. You say, "Oh, Brother Danny, I've already blowed it and there ain't no use to me." Yes, you can. Haul the flag back up. Go back in there. Tell them you've got right with God. Tell them you're back on the firing line. And put that stuff behind you and start out afresh for God. Let's stand and bow our heads. You can get back in touch. You can get back in touch. Brother John's coming. We're going to sing about just one or two verses of some old song right quickly. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, people are praying. I was wondering if there's somebody here this morning say, "Brother Danny, I'm out of touch with God, but I want to get back in touch." You know what you got to do? You got to come back up that same road you went down. You got to get back on where you got off. Get back in there for God. We'll sing a couple of verses. Dear Lord, help us this morning. Do what ought to be done in our hearts. Lord, and I pray especially, thank you, Lord, for all these that's already come to the altar. Bunch already come to the altar and got right. Maybe there's somebody else they held back a while ago. And Lord, in this last invitation, speak to their hearts right now. Oh, God. Get back in touch with thee. In Jesus' name we do pray, and for Jesus' sake, amen. We're going to sing this morning. If God's dealt with your heart, some's already come, one's already coming, there may be others. If you need to get back in touch with God, You've been following afar off, warming yourself by the enemy's fire. Be a good time for you to just come down here and get down on your knees. Say, hey, Lord, I'm tired of this junk. I want to do right. I want my life changed. I want to be right. I want to be right. Would you come? Just come on right now. Come on. Come on right now while we're singing.
I've wandered far away from God.
Amen. Come on this morning.
Now I'm coming home. The path of sin too long I've trod. Lord, I'm coming.
There you go. Amen.
Home.
Amen. Come on. Come on right now. God's speaking. God's moving.
Coming.
Amen. Yes. Yes.
Home.
Hallelujah.
Coming home.
The door's open. The door's open. Come on.
Ever
come on. Come on. Door's open.
To roam. Open wide thine arms of love. Lord,
amen.
I'm coming home.
Amen. Won't you ladies come pray with these girls? Amen. Let's sing, brother. Why we sing? Won't you come? Come on. Have you been wasting? Oh, Peter wasting his time out there. Messing up
now
like that.
I'm coming home. I now repent with bitter
tears. He went out and wept bitterly.
Lord, I'm coming.
Home. All right, everybody. Everybody sing now. Come on.
Coming.
Turn it up.
Coming home. Coming home. Nevermore to roam. Open wide thine arms of love.
For these on the altar this morning. My Lord's offering. He's offering you a way to come back. He just blessed us this morning with a good singing, a good shouting, people praying. Don't take it for granted. Please, please don't take it for granted. One of these days it's going to be our last chance. One of these days it'll be our last service. Have you done what you know you should do? Hey, if you died on the way home this morning, are you sure that you'd be right with God? It's serious business, man. This ain't no joke. This ain't no joke. If you died on the way home today, do you know you'd be ready to meet God? If you don't, you better get that thing settled before you leave. Is there someone here this morning that before we go, we're going to pray and let you go? Say, preacher, I'm not right with God this morning. I did not come to the altar, but I know I'm not right. Please, I want the church to pray for me. Would you just raise your hand? Amen. God bless you, ma'am. God bless you, ma'am. God bless you, sir. God. We're not going to embarrass you. There ain't nobody going to come to you, try to drag you to the altar. We just want to pray for you. That's all. Anybody else? Anybody else? Anybody else? Amen. I see your hand there, young man. There's about four or five raised their hand here this morning. Now we're going to pray for you right now. Dear Lord, for these people that lifted their hand, Lord, I thank you for them. Thank you for their honesty. Thank you, Lord, that they care enough about their soul. And that's why they're here this morning, Lord. They could have been 1,000 other places, but they're here. And Lord, I pray you continue to deal with them. And I pray that you give them a desire to want to come back. And Lord, I pray that you give them a desire to want to get their heart right with you. Lord, help them to realize we're not interested in their membership. We're not interested in their money. We're after their heart. We're after their soul. We want their soul to be right with you. Help them to know that, God, that we care about what happens to them.
And I pray, God, that they'd get that thing settled before this day is over. Thank you for these that have. Meet with us again tonight. As we come back in here tonight, I pray the power of God will just be all over this place. Stir us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray and for Jesus.